You there?
Yeah, man. What's good?
What's happening?
Chilling. Finally got my little room set up here.
Oh, so shit.
That's a plus. I still want to do some like sound stuff so I can soundproof it and make it sound a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming along pretty nicely. What's good with you?
Same old, man.
How is life following the Giants?
I'm glad it's over. It's not good. I did my last segment for them. Today is Thursday. I did my last segment for them Tuesday. So, you know, only doing 5-10 minutes once a week.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have to be, you know, in that in the thick of it, the everyday of it, you know, like I used to be when I was on the radio and you know, you'd not only have to talk about it, but to a certain extent justify it if it needed to be justified.
Yeah.
But I was pretty fucking happy. Like I'm throwing away like notes and stuff that I had gathered over the course of the year. I literally just threw some stuff in the recycling. And I was like, vaya con Dios, bitches. I'm done with that. So in a long-winded way of answering your question, it wasn't bad.
It was a roller coaster, that's for damn sure.
It was good, then it wasn't. And when it was good as it is right now, I mean, it's just like, I think I tweeted this out last night. I don't know what I did with my phone, but last and stolen, like Ronald Acuna, who is going to end up being the National League most valuable, more stolen bases. He stole number 70 last night.
Isn't that amazing?
40-70, by the way.
Isn't that amazing?
And you can miss me with all the bases are bigger and all that. 40-70 is an amazing year. Anyway, my point is that Ronald Acuna alone has more stolen bases than the Giants. And they were supposed to be a team that you know, they weren't going to be the 85 Cardinals, but they were going to be a team that stole a lot of bases. The Giants are dead last in stolen bases. So not only does one person have more stolen bases than an entire team, the Giants are dead last in all of Major League Baseball in that category. Low home run totals. I think they lead the league in errors. Like, it's just, it got bad.
Well, the good news is they're not the Oakland A's. So,
I mean, yeah. There's not a plot from within, from the top, that is leading to their demise and ultimate move. But yeah, for the Giants, like, you know, something's going to happen this offseason. I don't know somebody's going to get fired. I just don't know who it is. I don't know if it's going to be a hitting coach or a pitching coach. I don't know if it's going to be a sacrificial lamb. I don't know if it's going to be, Gabe Kapler.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be Farhan. I don't think it's going to be whoever the general manager is, the guy that reports to Farhan. But
let's launch from there.
We didn't already launch. Hey, everybody, it's your favorite podcast, Quality Hang. I am Rod Brooks, and as always, I am joined on this podcasting adventure by my partner in crime, the King of New Orleans, Louisiana, Marcus Osborne. What's up, man?
What's up, Daddy-O? This is a good conversation because we don't often get into a bunch of baseball talk, mainly because no one really cares much anymore. but when there's an interesting story, it's an interesting story if you're a sports fan. And I think the Giants situation is fascinating, and it's fascinating that you say that someone's going to be fired, and I'm like, I'll tell you what I think. I think that would be like a knee-jerk reaction to maybe appease some parts of the fandom. And I think the fandom would prefer that big names, big heads roll over little ones. But to be completely frank with you, they just don't have the talent.
No, they don't. You're 100% correct about that. But that sort of nuance, if I can call it that, is lost on people who in their mind have watched bad baseball, not just this year, you know, from, let's say, July 1st until now, the end of the season, as we record this episode on Thursday morning, September 28th. There's only three more games left in the regular season. for the Giants and for most of Major League Baseball. But they, since the Farhan Gabe Kapler regime has taken over, they've only had one trip to the playoffs, and that was in 2021, and it was a 107 win team,
which is a fluke year. Clearly, it was a fluke.
I understand why that word gets thrown around, and I don't necessarily push back against it. But Buster Posey was still playing, and he had a very good year. They had, Kevin Gausman was a top pitcher for them. Brandon Crawford was still playing at a high
Everything
level.
Went well.
Everything went well.
Everything went perfectly.
And they had guys who could play. This year, it's the complete opposite. They don't have guys who could play. Everything went badly. And also, you know, there's some young players that Giants fans have been told, wait till you see this guy. Wait for them to come up. And they've come up. And, you know, other than Patrick Bailey, they really haven't hit like they wanted him to. I mean, hit in the baseball sense and also sort of in the big picture fandom sense. People – It takes a lot for Giants fans to truly get angry and upset. And people are angry and upset because they feel as though what they have been told to be patient for, they're being told to still be patient, or they feel as though they're not being told, not that they're being lied to, but they don't feel like they're being given what they were told to expect. And the baseball was just bad.
Yeah,
it's just bad baseball. So yeah. I do think there's going to be a certain amount of fan appeasement this offseason. I just don't know how that's going to manifest itself. I don't know if it's going to be a little name or if it's going to be a big name or big names. I don't think it's going to be full regime change, but something's got to give because people here aren't happy, and they're being vocal about it, along with the apathy that goes along with people not giving a shit. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I think all of that is true. And I listen to the fandom, and there's just so many things. I tell you what's really fascinating to me about the Giants in particular is here's a team that may not be that sort of Yankees, Boston, Cardinals level of national recognition. Mm-hmm. But still, it's a squad that's won 3 World Series in recent vintage. Mm-hmm. And they have plenty of money. They have a ballpark that people rave about. Why aren't they having luck pulling free agents these days? Isn't it weird?
That's a yes and no. That's a somewhat complicated question. Here's the obvious thing. The reason they're not getting free agents because they're not paying them enough. Put the Carlos Correa situation aside for a second. That was just weird. It was just goofy.
Yeah.
But when it comes to paying free, when it comes to acquiring free agents, money is everything. If a guy is lukewarm on the team itself, you can fix that with more money. If a guy is lukewarm on the city because he doesn't want to move his family, he doesn't think they'll be comfortable here, or he doesn't just like the city for whatever reason, even if it's political, you know how you fix that? You paper that over with more money. If a guy doesn't want to hit in your ballpark, and the Giants do, have a perception issue and a real issue at times when it comes to the ballpark and hitting in San Francisco for the majority of the summer.
If you're
months.
A righty.
if you're a Deadpool right-handed hitter, not so much. But if you're a left-handed hitter, you don't want to hit here because the ball in the summer, when it's cold and it's foggy and the air is wet and heavy, that wind comes off the water and it comes off a right field, and you can crush a ball to right center or dead center. You can crush it in June, July, especially in August, for the first half of it, that ball will get knocked down at night by the fog and the marine layer. Players don't want to come here and play in that. But how do you fix that? You do it with money. So my thing is, and I said this, my last segment on the Giants postgame show on NBC Sports Bay Area, I said this a couple of nights ago, that for my wish list, the number one thing, they cannot whiff on this. They got to get a big name free agent. Shohei Ohtani. They got to get a big name, whether it's Ohtani in free agency, whether it's Mike Trout via trade, whether it's Juan Soto via trade, whether it's Pete, they got to get themselves a star, a big name star.
Yeah,
that
man.
Because they missed on it last year with Judge. The thing didn't happen with Carlos Correa. They really haven't. They haven't had a star since Buster Posey was at the top of his game, and they haven't had a dude. And we all know what a dude is.
Yeah,
Barry Bonds.
That's a long time ago.
If Ohtani has eyes for the Dodgers, then you need to pay him more money than the Dodgers are willing to pay. The Giants have got themselves as an organization. They've got themselves into a bind in which they have to overspend because of certain factors. And that's due to their own incompetence in certain areas and also things that they can't control. But it doesn't matter if you can or cannot control it. The thing is, it only costs money. And the Giants have a shit ton of it.
Yeah. And the good news for them is that Shohei is going to be a little bit cheaper now.
A little bit cheaper.
He's not going to be, he's not going to be, apparently, from what the doctors are saying, he's not going to be fully back to health until after 2025.
So
I don't know what we're talking about giving him a half a billion dollars of $700 million.
Yes. You absolutely do that.
I don't know if anybody's going to pay him that now. I don't know if anybody's going to pay him that.
You're stupid if you don't.
Well,
let's not allow impending Tommy John surgery and Shohei Ohtani not pitching for a year. Let's not have that diminish how unbelievable that guy is. He is
not
a five. He's a five-tool player.
Six.
He's a fucking.
He can pitch.
And as I was about to say, he's a five-tool player and he's a pitcher by trade. So he won't pitch next year. All right, fine. He could still hit. He could still throw. He could still run. And he could still field if you don't have him out there as a DH. That's worth $500 million alone.
Who's the highest paid player in baseball?
I don't know. But it's going to be, and it should be, Shohei Ohtani. Because after he gets his elbow fixed, and we've seen with Tommy John surgery, guys come back better. He was already really fucking good. Once he gets his elbow reconstructed, he's going to be, once again, one of the best pitchers in baseball. So that, to me right there, that's another $250 million you add. Give that dude $750 million and let's keep it moving.
It's not going to happen.
He's the biggest star in baseball. He's one of the biggest stars on the planet, and he is easily one of the best baseball players we have ever seen. As far as I'm concerned, that is worth close to $1 billion.
He's not getting it. I promise you, he's not getting it. He's not getting it.
He should. He should.
Maybe he should, but he's not going to get that. He's not going
to
get it.
And the Giants should give it to him.
Well, yeah. If any team needs somebody like that, it is the San Francisco Giants.
The fucking Yankees should give it to him. The Dodgers should give it.
They won't. They won't. I guarantee you they won't. I guarantee you they won't.
I don't understand why you wouldn't just – he's Babe Ruth, but better.
Yeah. I guarantee you –
He hits like Barry fucking Bonds without steroids.
But they won't – this injury – see, I think that we're going to downplay how much these teams – are going to throw that into suppressing how much they intend to pay him.
Well, I'm not saying that's stupid because this is proven after guys have Tommy John surgery, after they have reconstructive elbow ligament surgery, they come back better than they were prior to the ligament exploding. That is across the board true over the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I can guarantee you that they didn't have a reason to not pay him before. And when I say they, I mean every team with the money to pay this guy. They didn't have anything to say, well, we can't pay that. But now they do. And I promise you they will use it.
If the Dodgers, who are the Giants' main competition. But yeah. Hang on for a second. If the Giants or Dodgers, who are the main competition for the Giants – to get Ohtani. If the Dodgers come with that bullshit to Ohtani and they say, we're only going to give you $500 million because we're not sure about your elbow. Yeah. The Giants should come in and be Captain Save-A-Ho and be like, Shohei, hey, man, the Dodgers, they trying to do you dirty. They don't love you like we do. Not only are we going to give you the $500 million they offer, but we going to give you another $150. You know what? Fuck it. Baby, I love you.
Your bitch chose me.
We're going to give you an extra $200 million, baby. $600 million. We know you can't pitch until 2025, but you the finest bitch out there, and I want to make you mine. And I love the Giants coming in as a pimp. I love what we're doing here, and I'm going to keep doing it because I'm a child. So, baby, hit it $600 million, and I want you to come home with me. Or $700 million. I can't do math. That's crazy to be like, we don't know if you can pitch again and how good you're going to be. So we are, in essence, going to lowball a guy who might end up being the greatest baseball player of all time. That is bad and stupid business. And if anybody engages in that, including the Dodgers or including my own very own Houston Astros, then you are a bad organization run by stupid people.
All right. I'm looking because I had to find this out. So the highest paid player in baseball, I guess, as of 2019, is Mike Trout. And I'm looking for another one. I'm seeing if there's something updated, but that's the latest contract. $426 million is the richest contract in the history of North American sports.
Yeah, and Ohtani is a better baseball player than Mike Trout, mainly because he actually plays and he's healthy. Mike Trout always gets hurt, but also because Ohtani is a top-of-the-line pitcher. He's an ace for every single team in all of baseball, including those that actually have true aces on their staff. He's worth $1 billion. I don't care what anybody says. He's worth $1 billion. Because
there's a difference between being worth $1 billion and being paid $1 billion.
I understand that completely. My point is that if you want him, give the fucking guy what he's worth and stop bullshitting.
Giants ain't gonna do it. I just don't see it happening. They should do it. I don't see it happening.
They can't afford not to, is my point. Bruh. They had people walking out of that game in droves yesterday, they only had four hits, where they had two or three errors. People are laughing at the Giants. People just don't give a shit about the Giants like they used to only a few short years ago when they were competitive. They can't afford to be like, well, where can we cut costs? Where can we kind of cheap out on possibly signing Shohei Ohtani? Give that man $750 million, start up the marketing and hype machine that the Giants organization is very, very good at doing, and make your baseball team better and more competitive and not as much of a fucking joke as it is right now.
I think the original estimates for Shohei were, they were talking about him getting $600 million. I bet you that's about, still, it's a lot of money, but I bet you he's going to go down to like $500 now. I bet you that. I bet you he's gonna go. It's gonna go to 500.
If I'm the Giants, and I hear that the Dodgers are only offering him $500 million, I come in with an offer of $650, and we Gucci. You dig what I'm saying? I don't understand that logic.
I don't disagree. I just don't see it happening. That's all. I just don't see it happening. Like, if any team should overpay Shohei for various reasons, it is the San Francisco Giants.
Every team should overpay him, but especially the Giants.
Exactly. There's a certain value that he will bring to that team. In particular, because we have a gigantic Asian community in the San Francisco Bay Area. Like, San Francisco has the largest Asian community in the country.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself is worth a king's ransom. But if I don't see it happen. I'm cynical that way. I just don't see it happen.
If the Dodgers offer $500 million and the Giants come back and say, we want to give you $520 million, he's going to L.A.
Yeah.
You know what?
You know what, Rod? We might be reading this situation all wrong. Money may not be the main thing to this cat.
Nah.
I'm just saying it might not be.
Well, it might not be.
You never know.
Well, then you know what? No. Then make it the main thing. Because I tell you what.
It is to his agent, but it may not be the main thing to him.
I don't care who you are. When someone who is offering you $500 million has that offer eclipsed by another $150 to $200 million, money becomes important to you because money is the important thing in that equation. It's not important if you go from $500 million to, like I said, $520, $525, or maybe even $550. Then you just look around and go, well, that's basically even. And would I rather hang out with the Dodgers, who are winners, who are not in a state of flux like the Giants are? Or you're gonna, that's an easy decision, but that decision is a lot harder. And I don't care who you are, that decision is a lot harder when you're staring at another $150, $200 million on the table.
I agree with you on all that. I think the average person would probably say the same thing. And I've always said to people when we've got to discussions about free agency, like they talk about the city and all that stuff. No, the players care about getting paid. They're going to look for that paycheck, and then they care about winning. Because one of the things that I've heard people say is, well, you know, nobody wants to come to San Francisco because of the taxes, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Dodgers don't seem to have a problem getting people to come play there. Yeah, the Padres don't seem to have a problem getting people to come play there. So you tell me that the Bay Area can't get people to come play there for some reason? Get out of here. Aaron Judge didn't come to the Giants because Aaron Judge was never coming to the Giants. He played these dudes.
And whatever the taxes issue is, do you know how you fix that problem? Money. You pay them more money.
By the way, Aaron Judge went back to the Yankees in New York City. So taxes clearly are not the issue. Get out of here with that.
And do you know how the Giants could – because I'm right there with you. Aaron Judge was never coming to the Giants. Free agents don't leave the Yankees. Mm-hmm. If they're with the Yankees, especially if they come up through the Yankee system, they don't leave the Yankees. But do you know how to make him leave? Offer him more money.
Yeah.
What did he get? $400 million? Offer him $500 million.
Yeah.
That's how you fix that problem, and the Giants didn't. You offer him $500 million, I guarantee you Aaron Judge is standing in front of the right field wall at Oracle Park on opening day.
And you know what? The other part of this equation is, doesn't ownership have to approve these contracts?
Of course.
Maybe that could be the reason.
Maybe that could be the reason. Maybe stupid,
but I'm saying that could be also one of the reasons why they can only push to XYZ. And like, Farhan, no, we're not going to let you do that.
Well, that's stupid. And you deserve all of the scorn and ridicule you're getting right now.
I'm really into this baseball talk right now. Let's go. I want to talk about, you brought up 70 stolen bases, which is insane to me. When's the last time anybody stole 50 bases? Stolen bases. Just curious.
It's been a while. The stolen base is back because the bases are bigger. And also the pickoff throws from the pitcher to first, that's been limited to two. You can throw more than two, but you better get them on that third try.
Yeah.
If you don't, the batter automatically goes to second. So while stealing bases is not easy, all right? I don't care if the base is
It's easier, but not easy.
It's easier for these professionals. Yeah. It's still a very difficult thing to do. That being said, Ronald Acuna, he tried to say, and those 70 stolen bases this year, and he's probably going to have more because there's three games left in the season unless they shut him down for some strange reason, or that wouldn't be strange. The Braves won the division, 10 days ago? So if they put Acuna on ice for the playoffs for the rest of the regular season, that would absolutely not be strange. But 70 stolen bases is still 70 stolen bases.
Yeah, man.
I don't care if the rules have been changed. That is, to go along with, and this is the important thing, to go along with the 40 fucking home runs he hit this season.
Ooh,
that's incredible. 40-70 is amazing. Don't be surprised if that guy or someone else in the near future does a 50-50 or a 50-70, 50 home runs and 70 stolen bases.
Yeah.
Because that's the way these guys are playing and the way the rules and the game is now set up, that is entirely possible in my mind.
Yeah, it should. I love seeing small ball. Like, I do enjoy that aspect of baseball. It's more fun. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it is more fun than just watching dudes swing, strike out, swing for the fences, et cetera, et cetera. It feels more like real baseball, quote unquote, as I sound like a fucking old man purist. But goddamn, the record for stolen bases is 138.
That's the great Ricky Henderson.
That's not Rick. That's some guy named Hugh Nickel, who I have never heard of.
Rick, no, that sounds made up.
Yeah, Rick has 130. So he's second place. But
who's number one?
This guy, Hugh Nickel. Let me look this dude up. Yeah, this dude. Right. Hugh Nickel. He was a right fielder and second baseman. He was 5'4", 145 pounds, born January 1st, 1858.
Yeah. Let me say something.
With a 235 batting average.
Let me say something that is really not all that spicy.
No.
Any baseball record before Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier ain't shit.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Ain't no pretty much about it. Babe Ruth's home run record. DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak. what's another sacred baseball record?
Wait a minute. When did DiMaggio
1947?
When did DiMaggio have that streak?
That was in the 40s, wasn't it?
I thought it was 50s.
I think it was in the 40s.
Good question. That's a good question.
All right, fine. You know what? Let that one stand. Walter Johnson's strikeout record. Ty Cobb did. Don't care. Baseball in this country didn't start until Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. Baseball was integrated and everybody, the best, got a chance to play against the best, then baseball started. So whatever buddy's name is, Hugh Longpants, whatever his name is.
I never heard of this dude. So
I never heard of him either. Your stolen base in a season record, garbage. Ricky Henderson is the true stolen base king. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
As he should. I'm mad at him.
Hey, remember when he stole that base, broke Luke Rock's record, and said, I'm going to pull the base out of its mooring, held that motherfucker up over his head, and say, I'm the head nigga in charge now. Oh, wait, he didn't say that. He said, I'm the greatest base stealer of all time. He did do that.
Ricky Henderson is still my absolute favorite player of all time.
Yeah, man.
That dude. I still think he's kind of underrated. Yeah, okay. That. Okay, his streak was 41. There you go. 41.
Yeah. Yeah, 41. Was, Jackie Robinson integrated baseball in 1947. So yeah. DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak, buns.
Yeah, dude, I there's nothing better. You know, there's certain players in all sports. I think there's certain players who are so unique and so special that on an interpersonal level, not as players, but on an interpersonal level, that you end up with some of the best goddamn stories ever about them. Like, people love telling stories about Ricky Henderson, and I'm here for it. Every time I hear for it, I'm like, let's go. What you got on Ricky? There's just certain players who have this lore about them. Ricky's one of them. Larry Bird stories are amazing to me. Love hearing Larry Bird stories. It's just good. Michael Jordan stories, those are great. Kobe stories, really fucking great.
Yeah.
I just love hearing that stuff. I love hearing Raiders. And the Steelers, just stories about those particular players, so good. That's kind of what makes sports so goddamn yummy to me, is that sort of lore that you get after these guys are gone.
Yeah, but you know, what's funny is we got those stories, and there was a thirst for those stories, because even though we watched these athletes and we loved them, we did it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't three-dimensional. They were just these people we saw on television, and maybe you got a chance to see them live and in person, but you didn't really know much about them just because the outlets weren't there. There was newspaper, there was television, there was radio, there was magazines, and then that was it. So when we got these stories, they were, you know, they had been passed down. They had it was word of mouth. You know what I mean?
And Will Chamberlain stories are great.
Exactly. Right? And that was a guy, he's like Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
People saw him, but nobody saw him, you know, because television wasn't around and wasn't a big part of the sport, obviously, for baseball back in the 20s. And
social
and the
media.
NBA, and that's what I'm getting to. In the NBA, obviously, television really didn't hit the NBA until the mid-80s when they finally took the NBA Finals off a tape delay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, word of mouth is the most powerful communication tool known to man. It's not the telegraph. It's not the telephone. It's not the internet. Word of mouth. Word of mouth has done more good and or bad to society at large. I'm talking globally, than any other means of communication, because for the longest, that's all we had.
Yeah.
You know, this internet that we're using right now, and even phones, is still relatively new when you think about how long human civilization has been the dominant force on the planet.
Yeah.
But now, now that we have social media,
ooh,
we know a lot about our entertainers and our athletes and our heroes and our heroines, to the point where we know too much about some of these folks.
Yep.
And we know everything they're doing.
To be clear, half of that is their fault.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, half of it is their fault. Yeah, some of it is like the public's fault, but some of these cats, too much information, my guy. Or my gal, too much information.
I don't need or care to know that the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs has a new jump off. You know what I mean?
God.
And I'm not gonna mention old girl's name. I'm just not gonna do it out of principle. And not because I dislike her. I don't dislike her. I don't know any of your music. I'm just not gonna mention her name just because I don't feel like giving that story the oxygen. But you dig what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like back in the day, Will Chamberlain was slaying them, and we didn't know nothing about it.
Not a thing.
Now it's fucking orchestrated, orchestrated hookups during football games. It's wild.
I do think that the sort of the pressure that athletes are under from a media standpoint, it's wildly different now. There's so much like. Remember back in the day, like there was almost a partnership between the teams, the athletes, and the press. Like the press wasn't going after such and such as hitting up 19 chicks or such and such as doing coke or whatever. Right. But now they're looking for those stories. You hear stories about, you know, cats in the press going through people's trash and paparazzi with long range. Lenses get in people's car and stuff like that. Like, you would hate that. And I have to say, I would hate it because I wouldn't want to live my life. Your life is already under, and I'll use us, you and I, as an example, as guys who have worked in radio and somewhat in the public eye. You already feel, particularly when you're working for a company, you already feel some kind of way about like when you go out and certain things you can and can't say or do publicly, because you know it can affect your gig. It can affect your, like, we have to think about that stuff. So imagine what these cats are like when they have to do it 24. Michael Jordan, are you kidding me? No way would he be as beloved today as he was back then, because he'd have been canceled 35 times already. He would have. And the idea of these dudes up in your personal business, checking out who you go out with, who you dating, et cetera. That shit would drive me fucking insane.
Yeah, I say it all the time that you think you want to be famous.
Yes, sir.
You think you want to be a big-time professional athlete. You think you want to be an NFL head coach. If you only knew what they have to go through off the, you know, when the cameras are off.
Mm-hmm.
When the lights are turned off, if you only knew how difficult of a job it is. It's a well-paying job, but it's a difficult job, and it's a job that doesn't have a whole lot of, if any, job security. You, man.
you got to tread lightly.
You have to tread lightly, or you have to be a sociopath like Mike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be a sociopathic narcissist like Tom Cruise. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh
you
my
just,
God!
You,
yes.
You just
yes.
you can't be a regular person.
No,
doing
done.
What is in essence an irregular job. And yep. being an entertainer, and I'm talking mm-hmm. about an actor, a musician, or an athlete,
yeah,
or a coach,
yeah.
You, and this goes to politicians too. You yeah. are not normal.
Yeah,
you're just not normal because yeah. the job isn't normal.
Yeah, I would not want that life. I used to, even when I was a kid, and I was like rapping and singing and dancing, we'd perform and all that stuff, and I would always say there's a certain level of fame that I would not want ever. Like I love to have the accolades. I love to have the accomplishments of somebody like Michael Jackson or Prince, but I wouldn't want that level of recognition at all. I want to live my goddamn life. I want to be able to go down to 7-Eleven and get me a fucking Coke without having to rent the entire story out for 10 minutes.
But those two men you mentioned, those two greats and two people who are dearly missed. I know I miss them all the time in Michael Jackson and Prince. Remember what I said about sociopathic narcissist?
Yeah, boy.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those two guys
yeah.
fit that description perfectly. Yeah. And I'm not saying that they were bad people. I know there's some allegations against Mike, and that's yeah. to me yeah. a different story for a different time.
Yeah.
But if we can put that aside for a second, you can't tell me that all of that fame and adulation that they rightfully garnered due to yeah. their incredible talents, you can't yeah. tell me that that did not feed their narcissistic side.
Well,
and they crave that.
And we talked about hearing stories. Those two guys, some of the great stories in music come out about those two guys. You go, oh my fucking God, these dudes were insane.
Yeah, these and, cats and the were competition insane. They had with each other.
Insane. One of my favorite. Did you ever see that Michael Jackson, the movie? This Is It?
I think I
the
did.
Documentary. It was like right after he died, or maybe
yeah,
it was right
because
before
that was
going
to be his last tour.
Yeah.
I think I did.
Yeah, I saw the movie, and there was a funny part in there where Michael Jackson's like, the songs come, and I have to get the songs as soon as they come into my head. God sends me the songs. If I don't take that song, he's going to send it to Prince. And I cracked up laughing.
Prince did an interview with someone.
Chris Rock, I know where you're going.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Bad. This was from the Bad album. Michael Jackson's yep. Bad album came out. Yep. The song Bad came out. And Michael Jackson wanted to do a duet with Prince, yep. right? So this is Iron Man and Captain America getting together and holy shit, it's going to tear the roof off the place. And it was supposed to be a back and forth song between the two. And the opening line of the song Bad is, "Your butt is mine." And that's a terrible lyric. All right?
It's awful.
And so Prince was supposed to sing that line. So Michael Jackson presents Prince with the idea, presents Prince with the song. And Prince is, I'm paraphrasing here, Prince is, now, think about what I'm going to say here within the context of fucking Prince.
Yeah.
Who was, I remember his first album when he was just wearing nothing but black bikini draws on his first album. Was it Controversy? I think that was his first album.
His first album was For You.
Was yeah. was that the one and where he was wearing the black bikini draws?
That is Dirty Mind. No. That's Dirty Mind, his third album.
Well, okay, it's Prince, okay?
Yeah.
Album covers with where he's just wearing nothing but black bikini draws.
Yep.
Singing in a high falsetto talking about If I Was Your Girlfriend. Prince, who is as androgynous or at times as feminine as they come,
mm-hmm.
said to Michael Jackson, well, who's going to sing the lyric, "Your butt is mine," because I'm not going to sing that lyric. Implying Prince was that the line, "Your butt is mine," was way too gay for him to sing. That's fucking hilarious.
That clip, every now and then somebody will send me that clip. It's just the funniest fucking clip. He's like, listen, Mike sent me that thing, and I said, he said, the first line in that song is "Your butt is mine." He said, I turned to Mike and I said, I don't know who's singing that lyric to who, because I ain't singing it to you. And you ain't singing it to me. And you sure ain't singing it to me.
And what you need, because we're not really doing it justice. I'm glad you got the line right, because I butchered it. But you have to see the visual, because you know the type of smug asshole Prince could be.
Yeah.
He's got that smug asshole tone of voice and look on his face, you know, where he's kind of just looking down and trying to roll his eyes. A line was a little bit too risque, or just, I don't know what it is. It was too gay for Prince. That's fucking hilarious.
It was so fucking
The
funny.
Guy who sang "Do Me Baby" in a falsetto that would make Minnie Riperton, God bless her soul, blush.
Ooh, child.
That's
Ooh,
wild.
Child. Ooh, child. You know what? I got to get on this story. Did you hear what Tyreek Hill said he wants to do when he retires?
I did see that. That boy's wild.
This dude is insane. He's insane. Tyreek Hill, for those who are not in the know, is currently a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, and obviously
First
one of the greatest players
all
of all
pro
time.
Wide receiver. He is
one of the greatest players of all time. Like, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Dude says he wants to be a porn star when he retires at the end of his Dolphins contract. And I say to you, bravo, brother, bravo. Go do it if you can. Here's the thing. I don't think he can do it.
I was about to ask. Well, let me say this. You know, if a man or woman has dreams and desires, you got to speak it into existence.
Sweet.
But
manifest, baby.
I've got to manifest it, all right? Get yourself a vision board or just say it out loud, and maybe the right people or the wrong people will hear. But I was going to ask you, knowing that you don't know, but I just don't think you could be like, yeah, I want to get into porn. Where do I sign up? Is it like a fairly cloistered environment where you got to know somebody who knows somebody and they got to vouch for you?
Or it's like,
it's like becoming a Freemason, isn't it? Right?
Shit. Oh my God, it is. But also, if you got the money, which he definitely does, then you can start your own company.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he wants
Snoop
to
did that for,
floor.
You know, Snoop was doing porn for a while. He wasn't like the actual actor, but he had a porn series for a while. He was doing that for a minute in the early 2000s. I think a lot of cats go, man, I love to be a porn star. I don't think a lot of cats can do it. I think it takes a certain kind of dude who can actually pull that off. No pun intended.
I mean, it's
the pressure, Rod, the pressure.
Well, I mean,
I'm being realistic. Boy, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it.
Well, could I? Yeah, I can't have sex on camera.
I don't think I could do it.
No, but the thing is, it's not just about boning on camera.
Yes.
Anybody can bone on camera.
Yes.
From what I understand about porn production is that it's not, okay, you guys go at it.
Yep.
And we will edit and post.
Yep.
Like, it's like a regular movie set where they, okay, go. All right, stop. Now we're going to move the camera. Like, there's actual direction.
Pop.
Like, right, exactly. Yeah, like, it's
a skill, dude.
Right, it's not just fucking on camera. It's actually produced.
Yeah,
and you have to produce the way they want you to produce, and produce when they want you to produce. So, the main point is, and the point you're making is, Tyreek Hill just want to fuck find girls on camera.
Yeah, yeah.
He don't really want to get in the porn. Yeah. And if it's about just having sex with good-looking women on camera, my man, you're a first-team All-Pro wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. There's plenty of skeezers down there who will let you hit them on camera.
Facts. Just and do your OnlyFans.
And you don't even have to have people telling you what to do and when to do it.
Facts. Yeah, this is crazy. I every time I hear, and not just him, I've had some buddies who be like, yeah, I love to be a porn star. Bro, you don't. Nah, you say that. You couldn't do it.
Yeah, and that's it's like I could be a professional athlete. Nah, no, you could.
Yeah, you could. just stop it. Like, that's a certain level that you cannot get to. And by the way, I don't want to be having people looking at my schlong going, I've seen bigger. Like, I don't want to deal with that type of shit.
Yeah,
like, those are almost stunt penises that they have in those movies. And I'm not trying to, like, be compared to none of them cats.
I mean, you know, you have to have a great amount of confidence in your abilities and your weaponry. You have to
what a word.
You have to have a great amount of confidence to have sex on camera. And it's a confidence that me as a very confident person, I don't possess that.
I don't possess that, bro.
I just don't.
I know my limits. One of the great things that comes with confidence, Rod, is you know your limits. You know
exactly.
What you sell.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know what you don't. And my black ass is not up in nobody's porn trying to be a porn star. I mean, at this age, I'm still trying to do it right now. I'm trying to perform now. Shit.
You know, I have my entire adult life have spent it near microphones and cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not camera shy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not shy about entertaining a room full of people or thousands of people at a time. I'm just not going to do it butt booty ass naked.
No, man. No, hell no. But good luck to Tyreek Hill. If he can pull it off, that might be Hall of Fame worthy.
don't nobody want to watch that. I mean, we
want to
watch
people will be watching
that. We want to watch that little dude run and catch footballs. We want to see him. You know what I mean? Because the fact that he is maybe 5'9"
mm-hmm.
playing a game that is populated by really big, strong men on a football field full of heavily armored, big, strong men. The fact that he can dominate that game at his size and stature with his speed and his athletic ability is amazing. That's why we watch Tyreek Hill every Sunday.
Yep.
Because of the context, because he is doing the impossible at his size on a football field.
Yep. Yep.
We don't want to watch you fuck, dog. We don't.
No, never. Never.
We don't want you in that context, dog. We be like, ew, look at that little short guy with the muscly neck.
And a weird face.
Yeah, and a weird face. We want to see you play football. We want to see you be what you are, which is a world-class athlete around other world-class athletes and dominating those other world-class athletes. That's you, Tyreek Hill. Not you, but no.
I'll tell you, though, the one thing that's amazing about Tyreek, well, not one of the things that's amazing about this kid is that at this point in his career, what is he, 8 years in? That's a pretty good long run to be a dominant player at that size.
Yeah.
That's remember Chris Johnson? Chris Johnson was about the same height, wasn't he? Mm-hmm.
No. Who, the running back?
The running back.
I think he was a little bit taller and a little bit bigger. But the thing with Tyreek Hill is speed. His speed
is insane.
He's the fastest player in the game right now, and he might be the fastest football player of all time. His speed, his ability to get off the line, his ability to separate, and his ability to accelerate to go get the ball or accelerate once he has the ball makes him that's why he's first team All-Pro last year,
mm-hmm.
and that's why His services were in demand by Miami. That's why Miami is – that's why they, part of the reason they scored 70 points last week against Denver.
Ooh-wee.
And, you know, even though the Kansas City Chiefs won a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill, I don't think they win the Super Bowl that they got, the first one, without the services of Tyreek Hill, because it was Tyreek Hill specifically on third and whatever it was against the Niners that hurt him. So he is that good. I just don't want to watch him naked.
As a member of the 5-9er club, I have the greatest admiration for guys that size who can play pros. Like one of my all-time favorite players is Cliff Branch, 5'9". Yep. The dude played for more than a decade, and he was dominant. I'm like, this guy was fucking amazing.
The average American male is what, 5'9", 5'9 and a half? If the average American male can play professional sports, that average American male is anything but average.
Yeah, dude. Barry Sanders was. I don't think Barry Sanders was even five nine.
No. He was. Yeah, he was.
What, 5'7", something like that? 200 pounds? It's just a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
I pay money to watch Barry Sanders. I so wish Barry Sanders had three more years. Just give me three more seasons of Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders has a biography coming out soon. He finally got a statue in front of Ford Field. It's a nice statue. It's Barry Sanders making a cut, and it looks like he's floating. It's an amazing, amazing statue. It's also amazing that it took the Lions, but we are talking about the Lions. It took him this long to finally give him a statue. But Barry Sanders said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that, you know, many people have speculated why he quit at the prime of his career, why he didn't, what the Lions drove him out, or he didn't want to play for the Lions. He said he's finally going to tell his story. So that's a biography I want to see. That's a story I'm interested in. I'm not interested in Johnny Manziel. I'm not interested in Urban Meyer and those Florida Gator teams with Aaron Hernandez and Tim Tebow. I could give a fuck about that. I want to know, in Barry Sanders' own words, hopefully the truth from Barry Sanders as to why one of the greatest running backs and one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL.
At
the peak of his powers, why he decided to say, nah, I'm good. Cool. That's a biography I want to see. Yeah.
Hurt my feelings, but I respect it. Like, it hurts my feelings, but I respect it. Like, okay, dude, I get it. You don't want to do this no more. Who am I to, you know, a lot of cats stay on too long. So, Emmitt Smith was a dude who just hung on towards the end to pick up those yards. Still effective player, but he wasn't Emmitt Smith. He was just literally going for the record.
Yeah.
By the time he retired.
But he broke it when he was with the Cowboys, didn't he?
Let me make sure.
I think he broke it when he was with the Cowboys. I remember him as an Arizona Cardinal.
Yeah, I remember that. Breaks record. Let's see.
He was with the Cowboys when he broke the record. But he hung on a little bit too long. There's not about that. Pardon me.
He definitely hung on too long.
But I think the Cardinals, they being the Cardinals, they made him a free agent offer. And he's like, that gets back to what we were saying earlier, man. Money. I'm not going to let any of these cats fool me and say, the money don't matter. The money always matters.
Of course it does.
Because once it gets to a certain dollar amount, it has to matter. Once it gets to a certain level, you can't help but notice it. And it's just human nature to say, I'd be foolish to pass up this certain amount of money. And that's exactly what happened with Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened with Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
And that's exactly what should happen with Ohtani.
Yep.
If make him an offer that it would he'd be like, I would be doing my family in the future, my kids, my grandkids, my kids' kids. I would be doing generations of Ohtani's a disservice if I didn't take this hypothetical $750 million from the Giants, even though the Dodgers are offering me $520.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you and I would do that.
He should, too.
Emmitt Smith finished with 18,355 yards.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And I don't think anybody's ever getting that close to that record again. Wow.
Nah.
Look at these guys. Walter Payton, 16,726. Frank Gore, 16K on the money. 16K exactly.
Future Hall of Famer, Frank Gore.
Will he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think he's going to get in. I don't know. It's going to take him a while, but those yards and that longevity,
And yeah, go ahead.
It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame is very hard to get into.
That's why I'm questioning it.
They are fairly consistent about the criteria. And if Curtis Martin can get in, Frank Gore can get in. Do you know what I'm saying?
As I look at the top 10 rushers of all time, every single one of them is in the Hall of Fame.
Every single one, with the exception
of Frank Gore. Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Frank Gore is third, Barry Sanders fourth. Adrian Peterson will definitely get in.
Yes.
Curtis Martin, Damian LT, Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett. Every single one of those guys is in the Hall of Fame. So I think you're right. Frank Gore, he's got to be in, if for no other reason that every single player in the top 10 is in. He's got to be in there.
The position has been devalued. The position is looked at in a completely different way, running back. But when it comes to judging who's an all-time great, what's the one thing they look at? How many yards you got?
Yep.
And back when running backs were running backs and they were used in a certain way, your availability, could they count on you for every down with the exception of fourth and maybe on fourth too, but could they count? Could you be in every down back and be there for every game?
Yep.
All of those guys you mentioned fit that criteria.
Yes, sir.
They were there every down for every single game.
And, you know,
Frank Gore's getting in.
The other good thing about being an NFL running back, unlike every other position, every other skill position in football, that's the one that's the least affected by the rules changes and all that bullshit. Like, now people can throw and pass, you can get a bunch of yards, but the running back, you still got to get the rock and you got to blow through the line, and there aren't really a lot of changes going. Let's help the running back out more. They just aren't. Errors don't really affect the running back, put it that way.
But this era is affecting it now because, like I just talked about, the position has been devalued. You don't turn around and hand the ball off to a guy 5 to 7 yards behind you 25, 30 times a game. So,
well, that's what makes a guy like Derrick Henry so fucking great.
Yeah, but he's the last of the Mohicans.
He's an old school guy,
and he will get in based on the criteria I laid out, that he was out there for every down, for every game, but because he's undeniable.
Yeah.
Because you have to turn around and hand the ball off to that cyborg
25
times a game. Because if you didn't, that would be coaching malpractice.
Yes,
but I think, you know, look at the running backs who are in the league today. Any of these guys going to the Hall of Fame?
None. I can't see any of them. Christian
McCaffrey's going to have 5 more years like he's having right now before we'll start talking about him.
And it won't even be because of his running. It'll be because of his all-around ability to affect. Yeah, it won't be just as a runner. Even though he's a great runner, it won't be because of that.
Right.
It's incredible, man. I do miss, and I have to say, close to my heart are the power runners. I love those dudes. I'm a big Earl Campbell dude. I love dudes. Give me the ball, I'm running you over. That's what it is. Jerome Bettis. All these big, strong dudes. I just love them cats, man. I got a weird story for you, Rod, before we go.
Lay it on me.
This is one of my favorite ones. You hear the story about Cher?
No.
You are familiar with the artist Cher, Sonny and Cher fame, and Dance Queen.
If I could turn back time. That's my jam, dog.
You know what I'm saying.
Love it.
Well, guess what? I'm just going to read this to you.
Okay.
Cher has been accused of hiring 4 men to abduct her own adult son in an effort to stop him from reconciling with his estranged wife, newly surfaced divorce documents revealed. Elijah Blue Allman, the son of Cher and rock legend Greg Allman, filed for divorce from his wife, Marie King, in 2021. However, November 2022, the pair allegedly reconnected for 12 days when 4 men reportedly entered their New York hotel room and abducted Allman on November 30th, their wedding anniversary. I am currently unaware of my husband's well-being or whereabouts, King wrote in the declaration signed December 4th, 2022. I am very concerned and worried about him. I was told by one of the 4 men who took him that they were hired by the petitioner's mother. And I have been told that I am not allowed to see or speak to Allman, who is currently in lockdown in a treatment facility that is undisclosed to me.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, that's drugs. That's drugs right there. That's 100% drugs. But there's okay. First off, he's the child of Cher and Greg Allman.
Of course.
So there's some substance abuse issues just wired in that poor guy's DNA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Him and the wife got divorced and they were reconciling in a hotel. Okay. Not too long after.
But it was their anniversary, Rod.
They got
it was their anniversary.
All drugs, though. And she don't know where he is, and she hadn't seen him. And that was in December of 2023. And it is now late September 2024. That is the drogas, my friend. And I'm not saying that Cher is right in what she's done, in essence, kidnapping her son. But that sure to me sounds like that's a mother who knows that that relationship is toxic and based on toxic substances, and she's trying to save him. What I find funny is that Cher hired for the dumbest henchman of all time.
That's you what I was going to say.
And you give away the game?
So dumb.
What are you doing? Why are you taking him?
Don't Cher shop at Walmart for your henchmen. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. What happened to paying dudes to do dirt and keep their fucking mouth shut?
That's so ridiculous.
Jesus.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah, we're going to go in. So we're going to take him. Cher hired us, just so you know.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Just bust down the door. Just kick it. Bam. We're here for you, Elijah. Your mother says, come home. What the fuck? Damn.
That's a bad job. All right. And let's end on a bit of really good news.
All right.
A judge in New York City issued a summary judgment against one Donald J. Trump.
Saw this.
Saying that he indeed did lie on all of his loan documents about the worth of his assets.
And do you know
how big your balls have to be to lie and inflate your value by $2.5 billion? You have to have the biggest testicles on the planet. Well, they're like, yeah, you did that, dude. And guess what? Now that you've done that, we're gonna take all your businesses away. You cannot do business at all in the state of New York ever again. Shutting all of his shit down. Period. Taking all of his licenses, the whole nine. It's mwah! Poetic justice.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Fat boy 45 is not in the real estate business anymore. Fat boy 45 is not in the art of the deal business anymore.
Yep.
He is fully in the graft and corruption business. So anytime he gets smacked legally, I'm for it. I wish that would manifest itself into him being behind bars, but
Ooh. Whatever.
Anytime he gets smacked down legally, I'm with it. Anytime he gets embarrassed, I'm with it. But this doesn't hurt him to not be able to do business in New York, because he doesn't do business in New York anymore. And he hasn't done business in New York since he became, unfortunately, president. Once he became president, stealing from the United States government has been his business. Getting money from the Saudis, the Russians, possibly the Chinese. That's how he's been making his money. And also getting money from stupid, gullible people here in this country.
That's where he's been getting his money.
I'm just saying that those are his income streams. So, he can't do business in New York anymore. It doesn't matter because they're
dissolving all of Trump's corporate entities. He's got 30 days. Let me see here. Go ahead. I'm listening, Rod. I'm just trying to get more detail.
I'm just saying it doesn't matter because he's got other revenue streams thanks to becoming president of the United States back in 2016. You know what I mean? He's selling mugs and t-shirts with his mugshot from Atlanta on them. You know what I mean? That's how he's getting his money right now. Not by being a shitty landlord and a shitty real estate investor.
Oh, shit. And it means the Suns also will be losing their jobs. The entire Trump organization is being torn apart. So anything that goes through that organization, period, whether it's money from the campaigns, whatever he's sending through there, it's mm-hmm. done. Eric and Don Jr. are also named in the suit. They are also not allowed to do any business in New York. Wow.
Yeah, like I said, that's great. I don't think it hurts them.
I think it hurts Eric and Donald a lot. I think it hurts because those dudes don't have they don't have their own money. They don't have their own money.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Fine. I mean, it's if they're hurting, as long as somebody gets hurt, that's fine. I'm just talking from
and a $250 million fine as well.
I mean,
here's what we're learning though. Donald Trump is not really a billionaire.
Yeah, well, we been knew that. No. He's also not 6'3", 215 pounds.
No
as he
way.
Claimed.
No way. Dude.
All right. So when Ryan, people,
can you and I do that? Can we just go get arrested and just say, listen, we'll just put this on here. You don't got to measure me. You just say that I'm 6'4", 250 pounds, full muscle.
I mean, there's no sense in me lying about my height and my weight, but what I do tell people is that I won the Masters back in 1981 and I am the Formula One world driving champion from the years of 1989 to 1993.
Who's going to not believe that?
For a 4-year period, I was considered to be the greatest race car driver on the
planet. Here's a question, Rod, about height. Could you be a Formula One driver at your height?
No, man. My head would stick out of the car.
Yeah, because
I would look like Dino from the Flintstones.
Exactly. My wonder was that if a guy is tall, would they sort of, because there's no back seat or anything, right? So could they do something to extend the cabin, the interior cabin? I wonder how that would work.
You don't see tall race car drivers. Race car drivers are like Russian gymnasts. They're very tiny because the cars themselves are very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Small means light. So yeah. The smaller the car, the lighter it is. Right. The smaller the driver, the lighter he or she is.
Right.
So you have to be able to fit inside the already very small car. And unfortunately,
they're basically jockeys. So,
yes, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. 100%. And as someone like me who loves cars, who loves racing, that's my dream, is to be a race car driver. And I can't do it. Oh, God. It hurts so bad.
Well, that's all I got today, baby. You got anything you went through it?
Man, it's been a stone groove per usual.
Yes, sir.
This is what happens when we, you know, don't talk for a couple of weeks. You had some family business to attend to. So
all of
a sudden, you know, after a brief hiatus, when we get together, we didn't even intro the show. We just started talking. You asked me one simple question about the Giants, and there's an hour and 20 minutes of the two of us, you know, doing what this podcast is named after, just quality mm-hmm. hanging. So mm-hmm. always fun. Make sure you folks follow us on all the socials or email us at qualityhangpod@gmail.com. My man, I hope you're doing well. And
yes, sir.
Let's do it again next week per usual.
Let's do it, baby.
All right, everybody. Be good or be good at it. We'll see you.